Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from Genesis. We'll begin reading at the end of Genesis chapter 8 in the Pew Bibles, page 9. So we're taking up with the account of Noah. In the Hope congregation, we are working our way through these early chapters of Genesis and have been spending some time focused in on Noah and the days of the flood. Noah at this point has been together with his wife and his sons and their wives, let off the ark. He's offered sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord is going to encourage him with a word of covenant promise and with a sign, the sign of the rainbow. That'll be our focus this afternoon. Begin reading at Genesis 8, verse 20. This is the word of God. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Now the next verses, 8 through 17, are our focus for this message. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think of when you see a rainbow? Just this past week, I had an opportunity as traveling through the countryside on my way to visit members of the congregation to witness a glorious rainbow a couple times in the course of this past week. In fact, I was able to do so. On this particular occasion, I was driving through the country, and as I had begun my journey, the sky was dark. It was foggy and cloudy, and the wind was strong, almost pushing me to the side of the road at times. But then the sun broke through, and as the sun pierced through the clouds, I could see over the horizon, over the fields, the development of a glorious, beautiful, pretty rainbow. It was a delight to behold. It was heartwarming. It was refreshing. Of course, we who have been instructed in the Scriptures by the grace of God know why that is so heartwarming for us, because it reminds us of God. It reminds us of what God has promised right here in the passage that we've read together. In the unfolding of his plan and purposes, he says something very gloriously beautiful about the rainbow. And so we are encouraged about the glory and beauty and majesty of God when we see a rainbow. We are encouraged about the faithfulness of God when we see a rainbow. We see a rainbow and we can have that sense, if we think it through, God is God, God is good, and it's going to be okay. Praise be to God. Now, we also acknowledge, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, that not everybody remembers it that way. Not everybody sees it that way. And today, especially, there are all kinds of ways, or perhaps a specific way that comes to mind, where people have misappropriated, I would say, the glorious sign of the rainbow to make it say something that is altogether wrong, altogether not what God has declared to us in Scripture. Now, last summer, I had occasion to be in the Netherlands, and I had occasion to go to worship at a church. You need to hear me out here, and before you write me off as crazy, had occasion to go to a church that was called the Rainbow Church. Now, I assure you, this was a biblical, orthodox, faithful church. It had taken the name Rainbow Church decades ago. Now, today, that would be misunderstood, sad to say. There is much confusion. As I said, the message of the rainbow has been wrenched from Scripture, misappropriated, taken, you could say, in a way that is not at all appropriate. So I think that's why it's important that we listen carefully to Scripture and ask, well, what does the rainbow mean? What is God saying? What does God say here? And to appreciate that the message of the rainbow is indeed delightful. It is the message of the gospel, ultimately the message of good news, the message of salvation for sinners. On the grand scale, we could say that's what we see here. And that's the message we should be bringing to those who are confused, those who are overwhelmed with a sense of sin, so much so that they think they have to pretend it isn't the case. But we have good news. And I want to proclaim to you, out of this passage of Scripture, the good news of the gospel. I want to proclaim to you the faithfulness of God, the God who keeps his promises, the God who is glorious in beauty, majestic in holiness. And so we have before us here this afternoon the sign of the rainbow. And in summary, I would say the sign of the rainbow is declaring to us God's promises are sure. Because God's promises are sure, there are a number of things that we can enjoy together. And I want to work through those things together in the course of this sermon as we go forward. we can enjoy, in the first place, God's compassion for sinners. God's compassion for sinners. Don't forget, Noah and his sons had just been through the flood, and their wives, and all the animals with them. They'd been through the flood. They'd been on that stinking boat, you could say, for the space of a year. And they had witnessed the destruction of the creation. They had witnessed the destruction of neighbors, family members, loved ones. They'd witnessed the destruction of all of humanity. It was a very, very intense time. It's important for us to appreciate. So that as Noah gets off the ark, you recognize the importance for him of God graciously, tenderly coming to him and encouraging him with a word of grace, with a word of promise, with a word of kindness. And we take up at verse 8 here this afternoon, "Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him." And he says, verse 9, "And as for me, behold, I," literally could be translated, "I, behold, I." You have to have the sense that this is God at work here. This is God taking gracious initiative. Nobody else is doing this. Nobody else is speaking. Nobody else is putting the sign of the rainbow in the sky. Nobody else is declaring all of these things about the covenant. This is God kindly, graciously coming to Noah to make sure that he understands it's going to be okay. "I will establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you." Now, the word covenant is used here at verse 9. In the space of the next verses up to verse 17, where we stopped reading, it's used a total of 6 times. There's a strong emphasis that we must not miss. God is a covenant-making God. And when we use the word covenant, we're talking about a binding relationship where God binds himself to his people. God makes precious promises, and a covenant is the most intense form of promise or binding that you can imagine. And God is saying, on the basis of his own nature, on the basis of his own character, his honor, his majesty, his glory, "I pledge myself to you." That's what a covenant is, and that's what God is doing here in tender graciousness. Now, the kindness of God extends beyond the mere words that he speaks. God is so kind and so tender and compassionate in his dealings with us, and here with Noah, his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, that he says, "I'm going to give you a sign so you never forget." It's just like, if you're familiar with the Belgic Confession, what it says in Article 33 about God's grace and compassion to us in stooping down to our level because of our crudeness, because of our weakness, because of our frailty, he gives us signs and seals. He gives us baptism and the Lord's Supper, just so that we never forget. He wants us to see and remember. And it's the same here with this giving of a sign of the rainbow. God had said and bound himself with covenant, "I am going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. And he's not going to destroy the earth again." So he sends a rainbow. And you have to think about how that works. Now, scholars have differed as to whether when these words were spoken, that was the first time anybody had ever seen a rainbow. John Calvin suggests there probably were rainbows all the time, whenever there was rain or sun. Now, some suggest maybe there wasn't rain before the flood. I don't think any of us can be dogmatic about that and say we know for sure. Whether this is the first time we see a rainbow or whether this is now God putting new freight into what a rainbow means and telling us from his own mouth what it means is really not that important. But it is important that we appreciate now every time we see a rainbow, remember what God has said. And even just to think about physically what a rainbow is helps us to appreciate God's kindness. Could you imagine if you were Noah and his sons, and they've been off the ark for some time, and then a few weeks down the road, the rains start coming down? Could you imagine what they might have been thinking to themselves? Oh no, not this again. Is God going to judge the earth again? Now we know, because we've listened to the heart of God in Genesis 8, verse 21, God was certainly not going to do that. And now Noah knows, because God declares the same to him, but God is making sure that on top of his word, in keeping with his word, there comes a promise so Noah will never forget. And there's something glorious about the way a rainbow comes to be. It's when the clouds are the darkest and the thickest, and the ominous threat of the rain is the heaviest, and then the glory of the sun shines through, that the rainbow is the most delightful and the most glorious. So we might say that the glory of the love of God pierces through the gloom and triumphs over it, and it is seen in the blessing of a rainbow. It's a reminder of God's kindness and faithfulness. And God is dealing compassionately with sinners who are weak and afraid. And we see that all around us today. Maybe we have a touch of that ourselves, weak and afraid. And we can enjoy in God's rainbow his compassion for sinners. I want to see in the second place, we can enjoy that we see in the rainbow God's constraint of his wrath. God holds back. He restrains himself with regard to his wrath. At verse 11, "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." That's a decision God has made. The heart of man hasn't changed. You could see that again in 8 verse 21. Thoughts and intents of man's heart are only evil continually. Man is not going to be saved by a judgment, humanly speaking, except if that judgment is endured by God, as we'll see. And so God is not going to send another judgment in this way. He's not going to send another flood. And incidentally, I just may say very quickly, this is another reason for us to hold to the fact that the flood that we're talking about is a flood of universal proportions. It covered the whole earth. Otherwise, God's promise would be nothing. Many floods have taken place over the course of history, over various reasons, and people have lost their lives. But God has said, "I'll never send another flood to destroy the earth." So, we see that God is going to constrain his wrath. God's wrath is righteous wrath. God's wrath is what the earth deserves. It's what we in our sin deserve. God is altogether right in the outpouring of his wrath, but God is always controlled. He's never out of hand, never out of control. And he has determined, for the sake of the flow of history, for the sake of the coming of Jesus, for the sake of the building of the church, that he's not going to pour out his wrath and destroy the earth again in the way that he did with the flood. Not until the Lord Jesus returns on the clouds and the earth is renewed in fire. Another thing to appreciate here, we see at verse 13, the Lord said, "I set my bow." I set my rainbow in the cloud. Now, the word for "I set my bow" from the Hebrew is a word for a battle bow, a warrior's bow. And the Lord has hung it up on the clouds. The Lord has put away his wrath for a time. And that's an encouragement. The Lord has constrained his wrath, and we ought to be so grateful for the grace of God seen here. That the flood was a universal declaration to the world, God is just, and he hates sin, and he will destroy it, and sinners with it. But the rainbow now in the new earth, in the renewed earth, is a declaration to us, but God is gracious, God is kind, and his love shines through in his justice. Just like the white light of the sun shines into the darkness of the cloud and refracts into the glorious colors and shows beauty, now the faithfulness of God is shown in the way in which he constrains his wrath and shows mercy. I want to go on in the third place to speak of how we may enjoy here in the rainbow the fact that God is committed to his promises. We see God's commitment to his promises. Point number three. Verse 14. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth and that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. It's interesting, we see in verse 15 and 16 a repetition of the fact that the Lord will remember. And we almost wonder, is that an appropriate way to speak? Well, it's an appropriate way to speak because God is, again, compassionately coming down to our level. As John Calvin would say, he's lisping, he's speaking like baby talk, to make sure that we understand. And he's making sure we understand he is faithful. Now, we understand God doesn't need reminders, so to speak. God doesn't get forgetful. God doesn't have Alzheimer's. But this word here is given for us to appreciate. God is showing us, I will not forget. I will not. I make promises and I keep them, every last one of them. That's what he is saying. And in that we can be so glad. God remembers his covenant forever. I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature, verse 15. Verse 16, the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God remembers. He is so kind. He is so faithful. He never, ever forgets. We've sung from Psalm 103. And in that psalm, we're reminded of the way God is so kind and gracious, as a father loves his children, to forgive us our iniquities and take our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. We would say, as I think Micah chapter 7 would say, he remembers our sins no more, or the covenant promise in Jeremiah 31 verse 34. He remembers our sins no more, because he remembers his promise. He's always faithful. Now, the question for us is, how can we know that? And how can we live in the joy of that? And that brings me to the fourth point this afternoon, where we speak of our enjoyment. We can enjoy, the fourth point then, God's comfort in Jesus. Now, we don't see Jesus' name here. in Genesis chapter 9. But we do see the unfolding of God's covenant purposes in such a way that God makes a glorious promise that is for all creation, but it's part of the unfolding of the covenant promise that he made with Adam at Genesis 3, verse 15. There's going to be a seed, the seed of the woman, a son of the woman who's going to come. And boys and girls, that's Jesus. And we can also appreciate from other portions in Scripture that other references to the rainbow help us to go in that direction. So I'm going to share a couple of these with you. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, we have this vision of the throne room. And just listen to how it's described. Let's read it from Ezekiel 1 at verse 26 to 28. The last three verses of Ezekiel 1. Above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around with it, and from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Glorious, beautiful. And we have reference that helps us to appreciate this emphasis on glory, looks like a rainbow, is reminding us of who God is and with a view to who he is in the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Same thing is revealed to us in Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 4, verse 3. Again, we're in the presence of the throne room, and in 4, verse 3, we read, he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. So we have this sense that when we speak about the rainbow, we're talking about the glory and the majesty and the beauty, the perfections of God. I would also direct our attention to Isaiah 54. In Isaiah 54, we have God speaking words of comfort to his people who have broken covenant, who have been living in sin and are deserving of judgment. But in the context of Isaiah 54, the Lord is saying to his people they should not be afraid or ashamed. And I'll pick up at verse 7, Isaiah 54, verse 7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like, this is what we have in Isaiah, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. And what we see here is the very intricate connection between the promise made in the waters of Noah with the fact that God is going to redeem his people. So there's a broad covenant with Noah that is declared to the whole world. Everybody can see a rainbow. And the blessing of God's covenant mercies we enjoy in Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace. We see a glorious connection here. And what we need to appreciate here is that God is so committed to his promises that rather than to leave sin unpunished, he has punished it in his own beloved Son on the cross at Calvary. And as the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Calvary, you understand that there was no constraint of God's wrath. He pours it out upon his Son, as his Son is the atoning sacrifice who atones for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he gave his Son to be that atoning sacrifice. He gave his Son to be the big Bible word is propitiation. So Jesus endured the wrath of God. Jesus works his way through the wrath of God on our behalf. As we sing in that song, Christ alone, the wrath of God was satisfied. No hand of constraint there. And now I hope that you begin to see the connection between the beauty and the blessing of the rainbow, where we see that the darkness of the clouds alongside together with the glory and the beauty of the sunlight, producing a picture of the promise, that you can see something very similar at the cross. The cross is the darkest, ugliest place in the history of mankind. But because at the cross you have the full fury of God's justice and darkness, that sense, on the one hand, but you have the beauty and the glory, the blessing of God's love and mercy on the other coming together. This is where justice and mercy kiss. And so you look at the cross now as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you see it's not dark and ugly. In the cross of Christ I glory. God forbid that I should glory in anything but in the cross of Christ. Remember, God had hung up his bow in the clouds. And perhaps, again, I wouldn't go to the wall on this, but perhaps you could see that, recognize that bow is not pointed at us. It's pointed at God. And this is the way of God with his covenant. He binds himself to his people in such a way, he says, and if I do not keep my word, let this be to me the way of death. The way of judgment. But he'll enter into that death and judgment for us in our place. The arrows of God's wrath are slung at his Son. And there is mercy in him for all who put their trust in him. And that's why we see that the rainbow for us cannot be a sign of pride, so to speak. It is a sign of deep humility and a sense of awe. The rainbow cannot be for us because God's hand of wrath is constrained for a time. It cannot be a sort of a green light, a license, a go-ahead to sin. Because sin doesn't matter. Of course sin matters. Look what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. The rainbow, pointing to Jesus, is not an invitation to celebrate sin. It's an invitation to come home and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to repent. As Romans 2 verse 4 says, the kindness of God as he waits with long suffering and doesn't destroy this earth, the kindness of God is that we should be led to repentance and not stay in our sin. We should come home to Jesus and live in the joy of that forgiveness. That's the message that we have here. That's the blessing that is proclaimed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a blessing that is sure. God is committed to his promises. And this is the message we can go to all with, and we can say, in the language of Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Just like this blessing was for Noah and his household. It's sure. All of God's promises are sure in the Lord Jesus. They're yes and amen to us in him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We began by speaking of Noah and his sons and what it would have been for them had God not come with the encouragement of a rainbow. When they saw the rains coming, they would be terrified. Well, I want us to think about that today. What are you terrified about? We don't have to be terrified about another flood. God promised. We don't have to be terrified about the rainstorms. We don't have to be terrified about the COVID-19 pandemic. But fear him. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. The fact that God had constrained his wrath for a time and then poured it out on his son means that there is hope for every sinner. But it doesn't mean that there's no such thing as God's wrath for people who will stay in their sins. I just want to leave us with a couple of thoughts. Maybe boys and girls to think about this next time you see a rainbow. What do you think about when you see a rainbow? Well, perhaps we should think about the fact that God sent a flood. And God sent a flood because it was judgment for sin. Perhaps we should think about the fact that God convicts us of sin and that sin is serious. But also think about this, according to what we've read here in verses 14 and following. When you're looking up at that rainbow and delighting in its beauty, remember that God's looking down and he sees it too, and he never forgets. And because now he's looking at his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he's done, he never forgets the blessing of salvation for those who put their trust in him. So when you see a rainbow, you should think about Jesus. And you should think about your need for Jesus. And when you see that big bow in the sky, you should, as it were, shoot an arrow into the heart of God by way of prayer and say, God, I need you. I need you very much. God, have mercy on me like you've promised. God, I trust you. I see that rainbow and I'm reminded you are always faithful. You keep your word. And we see the rainbow in the sky and we see the picture of the glory of God. We're encouraged by the wonder of the grace of God. We're encouraged by the patience of God up until now. He's long-suffering toward us that all should come to repentance. That's to be our message to those who are still confused. And we're encouraged that his promises are sure. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Merciful, glorious, gracious, faithful God, we thank you that in your kindness you give us a rainbow to remind and assure us of the fact that you are always faithful. We thank you that in so doing, you also point us to Jesus and help us to understand how much we need the Lord Jesus. Help us to be glad in all that Jesus has accomplished in our place. We thank you that as we look upon the cross at Calvary, the ugliness of its horror as he endured your wrath, can become for us the beauty of the blessing of knowing your love and grace as we put our trust in Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to be faithful witnesses to others. Even enable us to speak about grace to others when we see a rainbow. And help us to be willing and ready to speak about Jesus as the way of life in you. And we pray, cause us to be a blessing. Lord, the rainbow is seen by everybody. And you have given us glorious good news that you call us to speak to everybody. Help us to do that with great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.